Please be seated. It's good to see you all here on a 4th of July weekend. Glad for those who did not make it to the beach. Glad you're here with us. Hope you all had a good celebration and a wonderful, relaxing kind of time. Although I have to say on this, 243rd, I think is what it is, something like that, anniversary of our nation's birth, I feel like it might be time for a bit of an intervention. Not talking, of course, about the opioid epidemic. There is certainly addiction and problems, but we have a different addiction in America right now, and one that I think we need to claim and name because we've got to figure out how to do something a little different. That is, if you watch the news, if you engage in any sort of media entertainment, we all seem to be phrased about the same way. We are addicted to outrage. Every time you turn on the news, there is something else that we should be outraged about. The camera zooms in on one problem or another, and people intone in very careful words, we should be outraged about this, we should be upset about this. And on one hand, there are things we should be upset about, but I can say very clearly as I scroll through my news feed, I can see almost the same words used for virtually everything that happens in the world. We'll have on one screen images of children in cages at the border, and they'll say we should be outraged as a nation that this is happening. And then literally one article below that, Kim Kardashian wore a revealing bathing suit and we should be outraged about this horrible, indecent exposure at a beach that none of us were at. And the terms are almost the same for both of these extremes. Everything is an outrage. There's a tweet that someone tweeted somewhere, someone said something, we should be angry about it all. But the problem is, if you're angry about everything, then you probably aren't really focused on anything. Or even worse, if you have that outrage, if you get addicted to that drug, and let's be very clear, it is a drug. Psychologists have done studies, and we can wire ourselves in such a way that we become as addicted to that as anything else. A sort of righteous indignation and frustration with the world and all that is wrong in it. Well, then we're not where we need to be. We have an addiction issue. We have been sold and are in consuming, at least in a lot of cases, that anger, that frustration, and what it ultimately leads to, which is division. Because if I'm upset and angry about something, I got to be angry at someone, and it's their fault and their problem, and the problems of the world are all someone else. Instead, as Christians, we are called to something different. Something that we take for granted, but we don't really know what the heck we're saying, and that is God's peace. Most of us just know it as halftime in the service, right? The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you, and everybody gets to shake hands and hug, hooray! But we're actually making a very clear prayer and pledge and promise to God and to one another when we pass God's peace, when we engage God's peace, and it is different than outrage. It's really sort of hard to describe, so I'll give you a handful of quick examples and maybe that will help unpack it a little. First, we can say that peace, when Jesus was talking about peace, was either in Aramaic Salem or Shalom in Hebrew. And it is a word that means both hello and goodbye, or glad you're coming in, or farewell as you're going out. Shalom, both of those extremes. But it also has a connotation of wholeness, of completeness, of everything being okay and right, and even more than that, that there's abundance and giftedness in it. Shalom. Shalom is what happens in both of our readings for today. Shalom in the Old Testament reading is this idea that basically you have 8 or 9 characters going on all at once in the reading about Naaman, But it's all predicated on a foreign power coming in and invading Israel, taking people prisoner and making them slaves, so that then they would know when the head of the army, Naaman, grows sick, that there's a prophet in Israel that can heal him. Those two extremes somehow are brought together in God's way to bring wholeness to Naaman. In other words, if he hadn't taken a slave, he probably wouldn't have known about the possibility of healing. And if he didn't know about the possibility of healing, he wouldn't have come to Israel. And if he hadn't come to Israel, he wouldn't have come to be healed. And even more, and what we skip, fascinatingly, in today's reading is the next verse, which is Naaman decides to worship the God of Israel. It's in those extremes that wholeness is found. It's what Jesus, when he says, go out and care for the people of the world, he sends out those 70 folks and says, God's peace be on each house that you enter. And you can reject peace, you can choose division and hatred and frustration. But God instead says, Jesus says, no, but if someone is willing to accept it, stay and rest in that peace. Peace is not just the absence of conflict, it's more, it's realizing that both sides have truth in them in almost any given issue, even if we're stirred up to do something. If we're talking about children at the border, it's to say something's not right, but not to immediately then declare that everyone involved is evil. But how do we find God in the midst of this? How do we go and love and bring love present and not division in the midst of that, not create more heartache, but instead find a way to be God's peace for those people who are hurting? Said differently and more personally, it is, well, the moment that happened for me 27 years ago when I was 18, my brother was 16, and he was killed in a car wreck. God's peace was not a moment of everything was okay. It wasn't okay. I'd lost my brother and my best friend. Nothing was ever going to be the same. And yet, in the midst of that moment, it was also feeling God's presence and knowing that somehow everything was okay, that he was well. And my heart at least was partially put at ease because I understood in that moment that hello and goodbye were intertwined in God's kingdom. That God's peace was having those two extremes brought together and somehow be one. No, when we take a moment in just a few minutes here and wish God's peace to each other, we are recognizing that there can be these extremes, these moments that are brought together in God's glory. And then when we wish peace for each other, we wish that wholeness that somehow, even when things are at their worst, God is still in the midst, or even more than that, God is within all of it and trying to pull us together to find a deeper answer. Not of outrage or of anger, but of love, of hope. In a moment, we'll baptize three wonderful children and be reminded again that God's presence is with us, that God is near, adopting each of us, loving each of us, and calling us to be those agents of peace in the world, where we go out and practice this. Quite frankly, it's to not ignore the news, but to recognize what matters in the news, and then to be a loving response to it, to be the antidote to anger and fear. So today, when we say our prayers again, when we ask to be instruments of God's peace, when we ask to the peace of God to be with each of us, I pray that you might at least begin to think of it in that new way, and of understanding that as addicting a chemical as outrage can be, there's an even more addicting one, and it is God's love and healing presence in the world. It is to be vessels of God's peace. Amen.